The title of today's message is Earth-Shattering. It's about change. The change brought about when Jesus was born. But first I want to talk about change itself. There's a story about change. I don't know if it's true or not. You can gauge it. Decades ago, a man, his wife, and a son traveled from the back mountains to a large city for the first time. And they were standing outside an elevator. The man watched as an elderly married couple hobbled on and the doors closed. A few minutes later, the doors opened and a young handsome man and an attractive woman marched off. The man hollered to his son, "Go get mother." Move to a true story. In 1958, Angelo Giuseppe Roncalli was elected Pope, and he took the name John the 23rd. One of his quotes is often mentioned in speeches, "We are not on earth as museum keepers, but to cultivate a flourishing garden of life and to prepare a glorious future." Angelo Roncalli wanted to affect change in the Roman Catholic Church. But Roncalli was not the only person who holds this view. Just last month, Rabbi Delphine Horvalier, a female rabbi in Paris, stated, "It's as if religion is a museum. There's so much nostalgia for a pure past that never actually existed. Our goal is to say we are what we are, but our texts and our beliefs are not locked in a box." Martin Luther wanted to affect change hundreds of years ago. And not too long ago, we celebrated Reformation Sunday, which we looked at the transformation that Luther paved for us. And of course, we cannot forget, we as Congregationalists are the descendants of tremendous change brought about by the Pilgrims. And there are so many. The phrase, a city on a hill, religious freedom, and even our own U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We live in a constantly changing world, and change takes place in every area of life. There's political change. Some of it occurs somewhat quickly. Some takes place slowly. There are changes in churches, most often slowly. Change takes place in our bodies. Cells die and new ones are created. And when we have a cut, we notice a couple days later that the cut is healed. Friendships change as we graduate from high school, then marry, have children, and as occupations develop, change occurs because of sickness. So how do we deal with change? One way is through wise statements. Here are just two of them. Change is inevitable because change is life itself. And the other statement, we resist change. As Angelo Roncalli noted, we are not on earth as museum keepers. And yet, sometimes we often act as if all we have to do is preserve things. But God didn't. For the most significant upheaval in the history of the world was the birth of Jesus, the Son of God. It was a momentous event. Jesus was born among us, a breathing, living person. Therefore, right now, today, we continue to be in the midst of this transformation which the Incarnation brought about 2,000 years ago. However, we don't think of the Incarnation as a major change to the world because we continue to live it. But the world was altered after the Incarnation. The world was renewed because of the birth of Jesus. Let me try to explain it this way. Before written history, when a volcano erupted and ash clouds covered the earth, the people living close to it saw and felt its effects. They could see what was happening and why it was happening. But the people who lived hundreds of miles away only felt the effects on their weather, and they could not explain why their weather was different as it had been in the past and even weeks earlier. Now, in our era, when a volcano as one is now erupting in Bali, Indonesia, we instantly see it on TV and YouTube. The Incarnation is like that in a way, because when Jesus walked among us, the people close to Jesus began to foresee his impact on our lives. And we saw that in the reading today from the Acts of the Apostles. Yet people far away had to realize the effects of his birth. In other words, we now, today, can witness the consequence of the Incarnation theologically and historically. But God does not want a simple factual realization that Jesus walked the earth. Because God's crucial question to us is whether or not we have internalized the birth of Jesus, the incarnation. The question that you and I both have during this Advent season is to consistently ask ourselves, has Jesus' birth made an impact on your life and my life? Because at Christmas, we should not just remember Jesus' birth as a historical fact. Rather, we are to celebrate Jesus to be coming with us in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. For example, when we recall Jesus' teachings, they're more than stories. When Jesus told a parable about a Good Samaritan, he clearly told us who our neighbors are. Our neighbors are everybody. So the story is not just important by itself, but it's crucial to our lives because Jesus himself taught it. We can dismiss a wise person who tells us, listen, everybody is our neighbor. But Jesus, the Son of God, told the story in order so that we may clearly understand that everybody is our neighbor. When Jesus tells a story, it's significant because his message is vital and in terms of how we are to live. When Jesus told us about the woman who lost money in her house and she was frantically looking around and searching the house trying to find the money, and then Jesus explained that this is how you and I are to anxiously seek the kingdom of God, we must listen to this vital and living word of Jesus because he himself is telling us it. Let's make a quick jump to the Passover night when Jesus instituted Holy Communion, the Eucharist. We know that the apostles and Jesus gathered around a table to observe the Passover meal. And Passover is how the Jewish people remember their freedom from slavery with the Exodus from Egypt. The Passover commemoration for the Jewish people continues every year, but they do not just recall an event in history. What they are celebrating is God working in their lives on a daily basis. And today when we remember Jesus as we celebrate Holy Communion, we honor and exalt our incarnate Lord as we partake in the Holy Meal. And yet Holy Communion is more than just remembering. It is bringing Jesus Christ into our souls, into our hearts, and into our minds through his loving grace. So it is not just nice that Jesus tells us that bread is his body, which is broken for us. What is key is that the Son of God, himself, while holding bread in his hands, asks us to remember him as he pronounced, the bread is his body, which is broken for us. And the same with the cup. The incarnation of Jesus has impact on our lives. Now, sometimes you and I may feel that we have no impact, that life just goes on around us. It just happens. For example, in politics, whether on a national, state, or local level, we feel we have no direct impact. We can vote, but we're only one of many. We can contribute to campaigns, but again, we're only one of many. We can write emails or letters. We're only one of many. So we feel we really can't bring about a whole lot of change. And sometimes we may feel when we vote or contribute to a campaign or contact our politicians that our voices are drowned out by so many others. And yet we know that as citizens of our country, it is important to do these things. We should. It's our duty. But we are also citizens of another kingdom, that of God himself. And Jesus tells us we do make a difference, individually. For when we give to others and love others, we are doing the work of God to bring about the changes to cultivate a flourishing garden in God's kingdom. We don't have to be the greatest. We don't have to be the smartest. We don't have to be the most famous. All we have to do is love. The incarnation is God loving us and showing us that Jesus is the clearest light in the darkness of this world and we are part of his light. As I mentioned, we may feel that our influence is overshadowed in politics by lobbyists, by major contributors to political figures. We may feel that our influence is insignificant compared to Hollywood movies and New York TV shows, the cultures of Nebraska, Rhode Island, Oregon, or Florida. or the attitudes which shape our world from Amsterdam to London to Lebanon to Hanoi. The list is endless. So in this wide-ranging mix of culture and politics and world religions, we can feel individually lost. Lajos Ordus, a Hungarian Lutheran bishop who defied both the Nazis and the communists, he died in 1978, wrote a book called At the Foot of the Cross, and this is part of that book. "You, my Lord, know well that the Christian is called to a heavenly citizenship, is at the same time a citizen of some earthly country as long as he or she dwells on this earth. You also knew, for you are well acquainted with men and women, that many of your Christian followers would drift into the peril of exchanging values. This is why you said so unmistakably in your gospel, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Those concerned about other matters you comforted, and all these things shall be yours as well. The first thing, then, is the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Everything else must follow. Christians, therefore, should know the order very well." What Ordus tells us is what is fundamental to our life, to know the order and then act on it. And even though culture and politics have great influence on us and everyone around us, and even though our individual impact is not great on a global scale, however, the influence of individuals who love each other can be huge in bringing about change. And what greater people than we, who are the people of God, to affect positive transformation to those around us? Jesus told us that he is the vine and we are the branches. St. Paul told us that we are the body of Christ. Therefore, with God's Holy Spirit guiding us and with Jesus leading us, we have influence in our immediate world, for people will feel our warmth and our care and our compassion and our mercy and our love. And we know that all of us and who we are is because of Christ and the love that he offers to us. To know of the incarnate Christ, to know him, is not that hard. But to truly, truly follow him, to follow him as the apostles did, as we know, is difficult. And that's why we need God's grace. That's why we need each other. That's why we need church. That is why we are here together in worship at one place, because we seek to serve him and to serve others through him. So how did we become Christians? We became Christians because of the incarnation of Christ. Now today, it's clear it's the first Sunday of Advent. It is a Sunday of anticipation and waiting. And as brought out with the children, the candles will be lit every single Sunday and we can see the progress toward Christmas. The color of Bill and my souls are blue. It's the color of hope. But it's also the color by which we are to remember God. Let me give a scriptural reference to the color blue. In the book of Numbers, in the Pentateuch, the Torah, at chapter 15, there's this pronouncement. "Speak to the Israelites and tell them to make fringes on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and to put a blue cord on the fringe at every corner. You have the fringe so that when you see it, you will remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. I am the Lord your God." Maybe every one of us should wear some blue, at least wear some blue in our hearts, as we remember all the commandments of God and live them. As God himself instructed us, "I am the Lord, your God." Maybe our world would be a better place. Maybe TV shows, instead of news shows, instead of being a half hour, could be 15 minutes. Maybe the Beatitudes could spark to life. We know that we need change, and we know the world needs change. As Angelo Roncalli said, "We are not on earth as museum keepers. We are on earth to cultivate a flourishing garden of life and prepare for a glorious future." This Advent, as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we must also prepare ourselves to bring him into our hearts and into our souls and into our minds. Jesus chose 12 apostles, ordinary men. Then he chose 72 disciples. Again, we don't even know their names. But it was on these individuals that Jesus built his foundation of his church. And they brought about the fact of the change of the incarnation. So can we affect change? The answer is yes, we can. We can affect change in our individual lives and change around those around us. Because we have to remember that Jesus was born in an obscure village, in an obscure time, to an obscure people and culture. He lived in a time when there was no Facebook or Instagram or social media, yet his impact on this world is immense, as is the impact of each one of his true followers since that time. So we who are the branches on his vine can do so much in his name to influence others and influence change. Individually, we can make a difference with every single person we come in contact with. Now, you and I are both aware that some people are disheartening to us and disheartening to those around. When I was doing chaplaincy internship at Children's Hospital and Elmbrook Hospital, I was surprised, even though I should not have been, by the number, and it was never great, of medical staff who were demoralized by the rude statements made by some patients who seemed to have no gratitude for the care given them. And that's sad. But on the other hand, we all know that a loving word that we receive from a family member or a stranger means so much to us. So imagine the impact a loving word that you make to a family member and to a stranger, and how those loving words can be appreciated. I love this statement, throw kindness around like confetti. When I hear that, all I can think of, throw kindness around like confetti, is my 6 and 8 year old grandchildren just fooling around, just throwing confetti around, and the happiness that they would have, and the mess that they would make. So let us go out this Advent to do what we can while we prepare for Christmas, the birth of our Lord Jesus. But we can never forget that we, now joined with Him, are part of the solution to life's dark moments and the dark moments of others. Jesus brought us light. Let us bring His light to others. As He was born to change our world, let's go forth in His name and bring about positive, loving, caring, respectful change. Amen.